salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, time just keeps rolling around, doesn't it, boys? Time just keeps rolling around. Roy Roger, you're lucky you just jumped in slot number 10. You got to get up earlier. It's 7 o'clock. You're just now logging in. Man, oh, man, oh, man, time is flying. I can't believe it's March 8th. Wow. Hey, listen. I'll tell you something today. I believe this in the bottom of my knower, bottom of my heart. We are right now, we are in the midst of the most dangerous time in the history of my life. That's 64 years. That includes going back to the Cuban Missile Crisis. It goes back to the radical 1960s and the revolution that took place before our very eyes. It goes back to all of that. We are right now, I believe, in the most dangerous time in American history. And I don't know if you guys have been following the recent WikiLeaks, although is that even what they're calling? It's got a new name now, Vault 7 or whatever. The newest leaks that have been released on the CIA, what's going on in the deep state, the deep state that they remember for the conspiracy theorists, they always told us it wasn't there, that we all were just wearing tinfoil hats and that there really wasn't a new world order and we're crazy to think that way and conspiracy theories, yada, you all know what I'm talking about, right? That's why you're here. That's why you're here, because you understand something is seriously wrong. It is so dangerous for Donald Trump right now, I can't even tell you. It is so dangerous for Jeff Sessions right now, I just tell you, I can't even tell you. Because something has happened in... Can I go back? Again, not a pat on the back, but I think it's important to point this out. I've been saying for a year that there was something about Trump. I didn't know what it was. It wasn't Christian. I certainly wasn't Christian. But there was something about Trump and the way that he sped through all of those primaries down in the South and upset the conservative apple cart, people saying he's not a conservative and he's not a Christian and all that kind of stuff. And I kept saying, cost me some friends. I said, I don't know, man, there's something about this guy. There's something going on here and I don't know what it is. And as we sit here on March 8, 2017, Donald Trump's been in office, 6 weeks now. He's been president of the United States for about 3 months. I've never seen anything like what's going on. And for all those out there that said, well, he was a Trojan horse. He was a stalking horse for Hillary. He was a plant. He was going to get in there and he's really a liberal at heart and he really is part of the new world or part of all that stuff. I'm going to tell you something. You got some serious egg on your face today. Some serious egg on your face. And we cannot realize we have not made the determination yet. I have not made the determination. Is Donald Trump's ascension into the presidency, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I really don't know. But I know it was a God thing. And I know it was a God thing in that it has given us an opportunity, me and you. I'm going to show you, I'm going to talk a little bit here at the end about the remnant. It's given us an opportunity to stand up and be counted. We are in dangerous times. Now, I believe this. I've told you guys this many times, that every time over the last, 6, 8 years, however long, since Obama got in office, there wasn't a night, not a night, that I didn't go to bed at night when I turned off the lights in the house. I looked out the window and locked the door. There was not a night that I went to bed and didn't wonder if this isn't going to be the night that those black SUVs are going to pull up. I'm telling you, not a night. That was always a possibility in my thought process. What's going to happen if they pull up here? Because I knew that it didn't really matter. Truth didn't really matter. It didn't really matter what I said or what I did. It didn't really matter that they had the ability to frame, to plant evidence. They had the ability to be able to do that. And I know from watching Ken Hovind, when Dr. Ken Hovind went down into federal court, Dr. Dino, federal court in Pensacola, Florida, after he was exonerated in that court, first guy to beat the government in that courtroom in 9 years. And I saw how they trumped up the evidence against him, how it was literally, the courts were literally a hometown referee. You had the prosecution and the judge and the public defender all being paid out of the same governmental box, all of them theoretically on the same team. Now, they took different positions, but they were all on the same team. And I just knew inside my heart how easy it was for somebody to plant something on my computer. I just knew intuitively how easy that would be to do. I just knew it would be. And I also know that when you are charged, when the feds get involved and you're charged by the feds, you're almost defenseless. Because whatever charge they make, they're going to make stick. And they won't just make one charge, they'll make 10 charges, and then they'll try to get you to plea bargain down so that you don't spend 100 years in jail, and you'll plead guilty to some, they'll drop all these other charges if you just plead guilty to this. Instead of going to jail for 100 years, you only end up going to jail for 5. I know that that's how the game's played. And I knew those of us who continued to make waves were going to be on that radar. And I think as I sit here on March 8th, I think that's true. I think we see that what was released yesterday regarding this Vault 7, what the CIA has been up to, this deep state, this new world order that everybody laughed at, made fun of, brothers and sisters, it is real. It's absolutely, totally, and completely real. In fact, we saw yesterday, you remember when Michael Hastings, who had some dirt on the Obama administration, probably the pedophiles network, probably all that stuff. Michael Hastings was writing a book. Most of you know that he died suddenly in a car crash where he was going over 100 miles an hour and ran into a tree. And nobody could figure out, why would he do that? If you're going to kill yourself, why would you go 100 miles an hour down a city street and run into a tree? Why would you do that? Well, now we know. It was released in those Vault 7 emails from the CIA. They now have the ability to remotely control your car. Did you know that? They can remotely control your car. They can somehow, remember, it's all computers, right? It's all computers in those cars now. They can somehow remotely gain control of your car, your throttle, your brakes. And I don't think there's any doubt that Michael Hastings was killed by the deep state, whatever it is. There's no doubt. And they found out yesterday, we already knew this, that the deep state, whoever they are, that new world order, that made up group that we all tinfoil hat guys were talking about, so nobody wanted to believe, we now know that they can turn on my cell phone in the middle of the night and they can record what's going on in my bedroom with my wife and I. We know that. We know they can do that. We found out that they are actually able to turn on your television. And they're able now to use your television as a spying device. You think you're watching it, it is watching you. Guys, this all came out. This is all coming out. This is all coming out. The great surveillance state under the premise that they're going to keep you safe. So when I talk about President Trump putting his foot in the door, that's what I'm talking about. And we can see right now that this whole thing is being exposed. Hear me. The dark side. Remember we talked yesterday about kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness? There's a kingdom of darkness with dark rulers and principalities and powers and evil spirits and a demonic structure in place that has seized control of the American government. Now, you can believe that or you can choose not to believe it, and it really doesn't matter to me. But I know it exists. I know it does. And I believe that what we are seeing right now, there is such, guys, if you go back and watch The Godfather, that old movie, Mario Puzo, didn't he write that? Go back and watch The Godfather movie. We see how the mafia operated. Well, I'm going to tell you, the government's a mafia. It's the same spirit. It's the same organizational structure, the mafia. Our federal government is a mafia. And now we find out that they have a lot of different crime families. They have the NSA, and they have the CIA, and they have the FBI. And what was it I saw? 16 different organizations that Barack Obama, when he left office, he issued an executive order that said they can now share secret information with, he expanded it, with 16 governmental agencies. In other words, you have no secrets. Remember that Carly Simon song? We have no secrets. We tell each other everything. Well, listen, you ain't got any secrets. You know, your bank account's not secret. Your phone calls are not secret. We now know that they are capturing every cell phone call in America is being captured. Not necessarily listened to, but captured. So if they want to go back at some point, they want to throw out some bogus charges at me at Past Assault Ministries, we know that they can, with a click of a button, go back and find all of my phone calls that I've made that I thought were private. And now that I'm charged with a crime, they'll pull out all of those phone calls and they'll take everything that I've ever said over this phone and they'll use it as evidence against me. It's dangerous, dangerous times. Hey, guys, they are phone tapping the president of the United States. I don't even know if you can get the depth of that. With all that security and all that stuff he has around them, they are spying on the president of the United States. Now ask yourself, who? Who's they? Who's they? It's that shadow government. There is, understand, kingdom of light and a kingdom of dark. And whether you will admit it or not, the kingdom of light has yielded our government to the kingdom of darkness. We've yielded it. Christians won't run for public office. Or if Christians get in public office, they don't remain Christians very long. Because we now find out from all of this information dump that we've been coming down, when a guy walks in, I'm just telling it like it is here today, boys. When a new guy gets elected to be your representative in Congress, and he walks into there the first day, I'm going to tell you something. They put him in a room, and they shoot up on a screen all the dirt that they already have collected on him because they've got it on all of us. And because they've got all this dirt on all of us, there's. I'm going to use the term nobody, although that's a dangerous term. There's nobody clean. There's nobody clean. And we live in dangerous times because it appears to me that Trump is outside that system. And Trump is doing everything he can to expose this deep state that's going on. But the church is missing. I don't know if Trump's a dark hat or a white hat. I don't know. But I know this, there aren't any white hats. There are very few white hats that are standing with him. In fact, more and more and more, we are seeing in the governmental realm, those who we thought were white hats are not. They're gray hats. We see it. They give us this Obamacare thing that they did yesterday, repeal and replace. And it's basically the same thing with a few words changed. Why? Because the guys who are writing the law and the guys who are voting on the law, all of their data has been captured and they are all under control of the dark state. Do you understand this? Why we are in such a dangerous situation? And I'm going to tell you, the mafia doesn't give up without a fight. Do you believe that this dark state, these emissaries of Satan, do you believe that they're going to give up without a fight? Do you believe, really believe Donald Trump is safe? To me, it's so obvious. I don't know why others can't see it. So I want to caution you. Hey, Chad, if you're listening out there, I have to travel. I'm going to be in Wisconsin this weekend, so I'm going to be traveling Friday morning. I'm going to do a live show on the way as we're driving up there. But Chad, I want to lean on you a little bit to help. Pastor Wayne did some prepping with us. Chad, I want you to do some more dramatic prepping, some stuff that you're into. If you're hearing me, Chad, maybe you can text me and say I got it. I want you to be able to do that, guys. I'm telling you something. There are perilous times, brothers. There are perilous times coming for us, perilous times. Now, I happen to believe that it's going to, however this thing's going to play out, it's going to be good. But the only way, see, that this is going to be saved is because guys like Rich and Sarge, we have to awaken. We have to awaken. Because at some point, I don't know how it's going to, they're going to do everything they can to squeeze out Trump. They're going to do everything they can to darken any light that's out there. They're going to do whatever plug they have to pull, whatever they have to do, they're going to do. I don't even know why I got on that other than just I feel it. I just feel it. And I think it's imperative. And one of the reasons I want Pastor Wayne, and Pastor Wayne's getting ready to actually start a prepping kind of show. Maybe we'll include Chad in that as well. We got to get prepared. And listen, I'm not talking about being the Omega man and being prepared to make it 400 years or 40 years. No, no. I think it's going to be a very short period of time, whether it be a month, whether it be 60 days. I believe chaos is coming as sure as it is, because the only, remember, order out of chaos. That's the communist, that's the deep state way. They create chaos, then they bring order. They bring down the Twin Towers, and then they create order. They bring down the Twin Towers, and then they tell us that the Muslims are after us, and then they create all kinds of new laws to protect us. It's the way they have always operated. So as they see their power beginning to slip through their fingers, understand this, they are diabolical. And they will do stuff that we can't even imagine that they are going to do. And I just caution you today. Not fear porn. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you. We are in the most dangerous times. A collapse of the economy, that's just around the corner. That's the way they can get all of us, guys. They collapse the economy. Nobody has any food. People will do anything to be fed. Anything to be fed. Wake up and understand the times in which we live and enjoy life, but don't live it so cavalierly. Be prepared every day, because today could be the day. It could happen when I'm in Wisconsin. I could wake up tomorrow morning and all of a sudden the power grid be down. I could figure, wow, somebody hit a telephone pole someplace. Did we have a storm last night? And it'd be something far more nefarious than that, and I'm not even aware of it. And then they'll blame it on Al-Qaeda. They'll blame it on ISIS, whatever. Yeah, those ISIS guys. And do you understand what a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive? It's all around us, guys. It's all around us. Somebody comment. I know somebody's got something to say after I said that. I'm just, to be forewarned is to be, what's that word? Anyway, what do you think? Yep. Yeah, I can. I hate when I do that. Nobody has a comment on that? Did that work, Jared? Okay, because I can move the whole screen, but hey, folks, I want to confess something here real quick before somebody jumps in here. I want to confess something. I watched a replay yesterday of my show. I spent a lot of time down here, and I don't want you to think I don't want to look you in the eye, but I've got guys down here on my screen. I get 9 guys down here, so I'm constantly looking down to them, see if they're waving their hand and they want to get in here. So I don't want you people say, I don't trust that guy. He won't even look into the camera. Well, I'm trying to look at Wayne, and I'm trying to look at Sarge and Rich and George and see if they got something to say. And then I'm so stupid that when George talks, instead of me looking down here at George, all I have to do is click on George. He's on my screen, but I keep forgetting to do that. So if you understand that, because I've heard that. I don't trust that guy. He didn't look in the camera. He's got those beady eyes looking sideways. Well, sorry. Hey, anybody want to jump in here? Because I got someplace to go here. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what you're saying? I believe it wholeheartedly. And you know the saying in the mouth, 2 or 3 witnesses, but there's a number of the watchmen saying the same thing you are. So for those listening, we all would be wise to take heed and not just think, oh, that's just Coach going off on some rampage. I mean, you're right. It is. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen.
I believe so. And listen, it doesn't have to be the end of the world for it to be the end of America as we know it. I don't know if you've considered that or not. Again, so much of our theology is based on America, right? We think America is the apple of God's eye, and the world revolves around America. You know, America could collapse, and the world still go on. So those of you who are out there who are counting on the rapture to bail you out, you could be really wrong. See, there's a lot of Christians around the world that aren't Americans. And for us to think that God's promises are just to America, we're greatly deceived. It could happen. I hear somebody wants to jump in. No? All right. Somebody's dog was barking. I want to jump in 2 Timothy real quickly. Had a great experience yesterday that I want to share with you today. You know, as we get ready to go to 2 Timothy, I went to, I spoke at a public school yesterday. I told you guys I was going to do that. Spoke to about, I don't know, 100 kids maybe, two different classes, seniors in high school. It's called Radical Political Science, meaning I'm allowed to go in there and talk about whatever I want to talk about. And I always go in there and I talk about the gospel and I lead with the gospel and try to bring them back to a biblical perspective and why it's important for us to have biblical roots and why our nation was founded on the Bible and yada, 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 yada. I'm going to say this in a nice word. We're so screwed. Oh, my goodness. We're so screwed with the next generation. I want to talk about this a little bit today because I think it's critically important. And yesterday I took a little bit different angle when I went into the show. I got to put my glasses on because Sarge just put something up here. Oh, yeah, Sarge, all that stuff, man. All pedophiles, all that stuff. That stuff's all real. It's just all distractions. But yesterday I started out the presentation with those kids yesterday, and I wrote up on the board, truth, question mark. And I said, tell me something that you know that's true. Well, they hesitated for a while, and then somebody said, you're standing in this room. Okay, that got us going, yeah. And then somebody said, the sky's blue. Yeah, okay, we're standing. So I tried to get them, I took them to the Declaration of Independence, which says we hold these truths to be self-evident, to a self-evident truth, to an absolute truth, and tried to whittle from that standpoint, if you believe in truth, is there an absolute truth? Is it really possible that both you and I can both be right? Both of us hold on to truth on a same subject. Is that possible? Is there such thing as absolute truth, or is truth relative, meaning based on your life experiences, you see truth from a different angle? And the truth of it is, I hate to use that term, they don't believe in any absolute truth. There is no absolute truth. So I went through the whole Bruce Jenner thing yesterday. I don't even know how I got there, then that's where the Lord led me to it. And I tried to get them to agree with me, truth. I said, how do we develop truth? And they knew trial and error, and they knew the scientific method and all that stuff. I said, okay, so let me ask you something. Well, what makes Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner to all of you guys, what makes Bruce Jenner a man? Right now they're really nervous. Because, Chad, if you're listening, your emotions will betray you. And we have taught our children to make decisions totally and completely on emotions. It's all emotion-based, all their decision-making process. I was blown away. And finally, one guy spoke up and says, well, he has male DNA. I said, yeah, great. So Bruce Jenner's sex was determined when? Only one brave guy, and I'm going to talk about that here in a second. Only one brave guy in the whole room. And he says, well, it was determined by his biological DNA at birth, determined he was a man. Okay, cool. Okay, then how can he now tell us he's a woman? All these women in that room, they start to go crazy. And you know where they go, right? They go to the emotions. Well, he feels that he is in his heart. When everywhere he looks, he feels he's a woman. But who am I to say that he's not a woman? I mean, it's gibberish. I said, time out. I'm 6'5". They looked at me, huh? So yeah, I'm 6'5". I feel that I am. And I feel I ought to be in the NBA because deep inside, I feel like I'm 6'5". Would you guys all agree? If the police come in here and they're looking for me, would you say, officer, he was 6'5"?
He was 6'5", tall hair, stocky, big guy, 6'5", huge guy. Is that the definition that you would give the cop? Well, no. Well, why? Well, you're not 6'5". I said, no, I'm not. I'm 5'7", stocky, overweight. But I'm trying to convince you I'm 6'5". And you won't believe me because you can see that I'm not. But yet you'll tell me Caitlyn Jenner's a woman. No logic. No critical thinking at all. All based on emotions. They feel sorry for Caitlyn Jenner. Or one of their friends is a transgender. And who are we to tell them that they can't be? I said, listen, when they bury Bruce Jenner and they dig him up 100 years from now out of some grave someplace in Los Angeles and they do a DNA test on him, he's going to be Bruce Jenner. He'll never be Caitlyn Jenner. What's the point you're making, Coach? The point I am making is that in the face of scientific truth, they still choose not to believe it. I said, how can that be? And I stopped them in the second class was larger. I get to go back today, by the way. I can't wait. I stopped them in the second class and I told them this. I said, I don't even know what to say. You guys are so profoundly lost. I don't even know what to say. I can prove to you scientifically Bruce Jenner's a man, and you look at it and totally and completely deny it because of something you feel. Well, I feel and I feel and I feel. You won't recognize me as being 6'5", but you'll recognize that he's a woman. And then they got into gender and all that crap about gender. And they think, boys, that they ought to be able to use women's restrooms, women's locker rooms. Rich, then I went into why it's my job as a Christian man to defend my wife and children. Then they're really crapping. They don't like that at all. But I got some good news last night. Because when I left, I said to the teacher, who I've been doing this for about 15 years, twice a year for about 15 years. When I left, I said to her, I get discouraged. Every time I come here, I get more and more discouraged. We are so screwed. The next generation, they don't even have the ability to logically think. They cannot put A plus B equals C. They cannot do it. They say A plus B equals C, but A plus B equals C, however, they deny what they see and believe it based on emotions. So last night, just before I crawled in bed, you guys know I go to bed pretty early. That's for the guys in the black Suburbans. They know I go to bed pretty early. I got an email from the teacher. I was just crawling in bed. Can I read to you what she said to me? Sorry guys, I'm not trying to bog you down. I'm trying to make a point. Bear with me here a second. I won't tell you her name because I didn't ask her permission. Not that it would matter. But she said this to me last. Listen to this. She says, Coach, I just wanted to share a quick note before you come in tomorrow, since I may not have time after the class. When you got done, I went straight upstairs to the lunchroom where I have lunch duty. And many of the students from Poly Rad, that was the name of the class, they were up there. And they spent the entire next hour discussing, sometimes screaming at each other's, the issues from your presentation. One of the boys, she gives me the name, the young man sitting on the floor in the second class, agreed with you completely and was willing to take a stand against his fellow classmates. And once he started, several other students had his back, and a very lively exchange of ideas was going on when I left for the next class. You said that you felt discouraged after your presentation. I think you gave that young man courage to stand up for what he believed. I got goosebumps. Because you know what I noticed? And it's always the same. It's always the same. Are you ready? The demonic ones are boisterous and loud and intimidating. And the good little Christian boys sit there and they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I said yesterday, isn't anybody agree with me? Doesn't anybody think Bruce Jenner ought to go into a men's restroom? Doesn't anybody agree with me? Nobody agreed with me. But Rich, they did agree with me, see? They did agree with me. But we've programmed them to be silent, not make waves. They don't, they seem like they're anti-whatever if they speak up what they feel in their heart. It's what we're fighting in the church, boys. It's what we're fighting in the church. Hey, Roger. Those kids will soon be at your church, sitting there, letting everything go on. Because their daddies don't fight against anything. They don't ever see anybody fight against anything. And this idiot comes in there who thinks he's 6'5" and begins to push back against the darkness. And all of a sudden, some boy sitting there grows a little bit of courage.
You know, Dave?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You know, we all bring something different to the huddle. I bring once a week a class with a bunch of 15, 16, and 17-year-olds. And they, with the right sales pitch, they would follow a snake oil salesman. You know, it's sad. And I see it. I see it. There's some of them that want to stand, and but the ability for them to stand boldly and strongly for anything other than maybe a sports team, and even that is not happening much, is just limited.
They don't see their daddy stand. They don't see their pastor stand. They don't see any authority figure in their life stand. All they see is these homos, these homo sapiens. That's a play on words. I know what a homo sapien is. They see these homo sapiens stand and argue and push back, and they just sit there and they just be quiet and they don't say anything. And the world goes to hell. And they don't care. See, the point of my presentation is why this is a Christian nation and why it needs to remain a Christian nation. But they can't get by the fact that they don't. Somebody's allowed to come and pee wherever they want to pee. They can't even get by that fact because they are all emotion-based. All of it is emotion-based. You with me? That's our fight. That's our fight. We are intimidated. We are afraid to stand up. I'm in 2 Timothy. Is that where it was? That's not what I said. Well, yeah, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because this is where it is. It's what we're dealing with. I got more to share with you. I'm so freaking fired up. I can't wait to go back today. Because I'm going to find some guys on my side today. There are going to be some guys on my side today. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And what are we going to do? We're going to rebuke them. And we're going to put them down. Boy, I ticked off some girl yesterday. She was 17 years old. I remember her name, but I won't say it. Oh, and she insinuated that I was just about the dumbest, most Neanderthal guy that ever come around. And if I was as smart as her, and if I was as enlightened as her, I wouldn't feel that way. And too bad that I am. And all I did this, man. I held up my camera with my little grandbaby on, my little grandbabies. And I went over and I put it in her face. So I said, let me ask you something. Are you smarter than her? And she looked at it. She knew she was trapped. And she's one girl sitting beside her says, well, probably right now, but I can't say I'm smarter than her. And then the other girl says, yeah, I'm smarter. I said, why are you smarter? Well, she says, I'm older. I said, hey, I'm 64. I'm a lot smarter than you. What you're saying is stupid. If the boys had any courage, they'd have cheered right there. You know what I'm saying?
they'd have cheered. We let him get away with that. We let him get away with that crap. We let him get away with it. I'm in 2 Timothy. Anybody want to say anything? So I'm not looking down here. Floor is always open here. You know that. Man, I feel this. I can't wait to get back over there today. 2 Timothy 20. Jared's going to scroll down there for us. Verse 20, Jared. Thanks. There you go, bud. But in the great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Yeah, some to dishonor. How about that? Huh? If a man therefore purge himself from these, get away from those stupid people, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, meet for the master. How about that? Sanctified so the master can use you. And prepared unto every good work. So listen, 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Grow up, dude. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Not with those who don't call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You ain't looking for peace with them. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. I was instructed. See, they were fighting themselves yesterday, and they didn't even know it. And in meekness, meaning control, I instructed those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And one of these kids stood up and acknowledged the truth. He stood up. He came out from among them. He acknowledged the truth. And what did he find? Why, there were more. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. He is fooling them. He's teasing them. He's taking them captive. We're putting them in the schools, and they're being captured, and we cannot figure out what's happening to our young people. Rich, can you believe that you have to walk into any school in America and debate whether or not Bruce Jenner's a man? Can you believe that that's foolish and an unlearned question? Shouldn't even be discussing that crap. But there are those who defend it. Yeah, peer pressure, Sarge. Funny you say that. I got a clip here I want to show you. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. Peer pressure is as great in the church as it is any place else. Peer pressure is as great in Christian society as it is anywhere else. Peer pressure. Trouble in your church and you won't stand up and speak against it. Why? You're worried about what others might say. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. This is an old video, but I watched this thing. I'm not going to watch all of it. This is unbelievable. It says schools brainwashing, Jared. It says brainwashing on it. I want you to watch this because I saw this in action yesterday, okay? This thing's about 8 minutes long. I'm not going to play all of it. But I want you to watch how they use peer pressure and how peer pressure impacts logical thinking. Go ahead and play that, Jared, real quick.
As these two favorite psychology experiments show, we can all rate ourselves as being as culpable as seen in these five-minute videos where normal folks start making an interesting comment on human nature.
But an experiment is not a public opinion poll. It examines behavior under the pressure of social forces, as the experiment of Solomon Asch reveals.
The experiment you'll be taking part in today involves the perception of lengths of lines. As you can see here, I have a number of cards, and on each card there are several lines. Your task is a very simple one. You're to look at the line on the left and determine which of the three lines on the right is equal to it in length. All right, we'll proceed in this order. You'll give your answer.
Only one of the
stop a second, Jared. Stop a second.
Subject.
Just so I'm not, he's explaining this, but again, for those who can't see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have 6 guys sitting at a table in front of us. 5 of them are dupes. They are put in there to play a role. The guy in the white T-shirt, the second from the right, he is the only subject in this. The rest of them are playing a role. You understand? They're supposed to answer in a specific way to see how the guy in the white T-shirt is going to react. That's how this is set up, okay? So let's watch this. Go ahead.
The fifth person with the white T-shirt. The others are Confederates of the experimenter and have been told to give wrong answers on some of the trials. The experiment begins uneventfully as subjects give their judgments.
Two. Three.
But on the third trial,
stop a second,
something
Jared.
Happens.
I'm sorry again for those of you who are listening. They're showing us pictures of the length of lines on a piece of paper, and you're supposed to decide which one's the longest. So you hear them saying 2, 2, 2. That's what these guys are doing. They keep changing it. So as you're listening, that's what you hear. You're going to hear another. There's going to be another picture of lines on the screen, and they're going to tell us which one they think's longest. Go ahead.
2.
The subject denies the evidence of his own eyes and yields to group influence. Ash found subjects went along with the group on 37% of the critical trials. But he found through interviews that they went along with the group for different reasons.
One.
They must be right. There are 4 of them and 1 of me.
One.
This subject's yielding is based on a distortion of his judgment. He genuinely believes that the group is correct.
One.
I know they're wrong, but why should I make waves?
2.
In this case, the subject knows he is right, but goes along to avoid the discomfort of disagreeing with the group. Here, the distortion is at the level of his response.
2.
Two.
Two.
In the previous experiment, the naive subject stood alone against the group. In this variation, Ash gave the naive subject a partner, here seated in the third position, who also gives the correct response.
One. Two.
With a partner, yielding drops to only 5% of the critical trials compared to 37% without a partner. Although subjects report warmth and good feeling toward the partner, they typically deny that he played a role in their own independence. The partnership variation shows that much of the power of the group came not merely from its numbers, but from the unanimity of its opposition. When that unanimity is punctured, the group's power is greatly reduced. Sometimes we go along with a group because what they say convinces us they are right. This is called informational conformity. But sometimes we conform because we are apprehensive that the group will disapprove if we are deviant. This is called normative conformity. The strength of the normative factor is shown in another variation carried out by Ash. In this variation, the subject is told that because he had arrived late, he would have to write his answers. Subjects in this private response experiment are exposed to the same amount of misleading information as other subjects, but they are immune from any possible criticism by the group.
One.
And this enormously reduces the pressure to conform. Conformity drops by 2/3. Ash's experiment is a classic. It reveals how people will deny what they see and submit to group pressure. It allows us not only to observe conformity, but to study the conditions that increase or reduce its occurrence.
Okay, you can stop there. It goes on. I'll send you this link. You can go on and follow it. Sarge just nailed it. See, this is why they pay protesters to go out. They pay protesters to go out because they know Roger will be too chicken to stand up and speak the truth in front of them. And this applies in our churches as well. When a pastor gets up there and gives something that you do not agree with, how many times will somebody stand up and say, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. No, we've been programmed to go along, to get along, and as a result, look around us and see exactly what we have. Now, some of you guys, you're experiencing this right now with the friends that you're trying to introduce to this truth that you've discovered. And what are they saying to you, see? They're making fun of you. They're saying you've lost your mind. You've gone off the deep end. He's radical. And they're beginning to avoid. And what normally happens in a situation like that, Rich, is eventually you shut your mouth. You shut your mouth because you want to be accepted and you want to be loved and you want to be approved. And so there's how we see how the manipulation takes place. That's why whenever I am making a presentation to the kids, I am constantly looking for an amener in the crowd. That's why I will constantly say, isn't there anybody in here that thinks Bruce Jenner's a male? Isn't there somebody? Because, see, I'm trying to use that same power of peer pressure persuasion to get them to say what they believe to be the truth. But, see, no matter how many times I do that, they see themselves as part of the student group, not part of my group. And so, therefore, they are going to remain silent because they do not want to be booted out of the peer pressure group. What a picture. What a picture. That's why when you have these Trump rallies, nobody goes to the Trump rallies. Why don't they go to the Trump rallies? Because they want to vote in silence and not be bothered. They don't know who's going to see them there, and they don't want to stand up. They don't want to put up with the crap that comes along with standing up for what's right. Boys and girls, it's happening right there in your church.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
When the church and when my friends were all answering too, that's when I told them, you stay away from me because there's nobody home.
If you think that a man should use a women's restroom, I ain't going to argue with you. Foolish and unlearned question. Why would I try to convince them? I mean, what a waste of time that is to try to convince them, right? That's where we are. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for they do engender strifes. Okay, now, this is going to take most of the rest of the show, but I think it's worth it. This is a video from David Wilkerson. Hey, fellas, listen. Even the dead fish swim upstream, or float downstream, I'm sorry. Even the dead fish float downstream. And the fact that you're even here tells me that you're a trout. You're an upstream swimmer. You understand that? You are, whether you have admitted it or not, you are a unique individual. Dare I say it? You are part of the remnant. What's the remnant? It's those who are really, truly sold out for the cause of Christ, who really don't care about social pressures, who really don't care what other people say. You have in your heart made the determination, though none go with me, still I will follow. Hear me. Those of you who are listening to this show right now, by the way, I know YouTube's lying about our numbers. I know they are. There's all types of evidence on that now from the same thing that came out yesterday, how they suppress views and all that stuff. They're going to want to censor us here at some point, certainly. I came across this video. I don't know where. It just popped up. It's David Wilkerson again. Remember, he's dead, been dead probably 5 or 6 years. It's David Wilkerson speaking to you guys. So I'm going to let him say it to you rather than me. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Why does that always happen to me? Does that mean I didn't send it to you? Oh, that's so stupid. Let me see if I got it here, Jared. No, that's not the right one. Somebody save me a minute here. Don't I have Wilkerson? Yeah, I do. But oh, it's like Google thing. I see what it is. Hang on, Jared. Bear with me 1 second. Bear with me. I'm going to have it to you. God's doing something Oh, this is good.
Or, Coach, I find with the truth thing and everything, you just go around and you know that you're right. You have to know that you're right, and they will crumble if it's one on one. If it's one on one, they will lose.
They will. They
will. If it's 2-on-1, you can still probably win, and even up to like 4-on-1, depending on your personality. But you just have to. You're right. We're right.
That's right. It doesn't matter whether you get it or not. I'm right. I'm telling you the truth. That's okay. My job's to be a truth detector. My job's to tell the truth. My job's not to convince you. I'm telling you the truth. And you make the decision what you're going to do. But I ain't backing down. You are wrong. And I'm not afraid to tell you. That's we've got to have that attitude. Have to have that attitude. Here's Wilkerson. It's 8:48, and it's just for all of you guys this morning. A Holy Remnant by David Wilkerson.
It's very hidden, it's very quiet, but it's so awesome and supernatural that it's beyond human comprehension. In fact, what the Lord's doing right now is going to affect the whole world in these last days. And here's what it is. He's preparing a very small but most powerful army of dedicated Christians who are more dedicated than anybody who followed Hitler. They were considered to be among the most loyal people on the face of the earth. But folks, this army that God is raising up is going to be the most dedicated army on the face of the earth. Never before anyone is pure, devoted, and fearless as this remnant that's coming forth. They're going to come forth and do exploits, and they're going to shake hell, literally. This new army is going to be made up of handmaidens of the Lord. It's going to be made up of servants of the Lord, ordinary Christians who lay hold of God, and God lays hold of them. And a whole new realm of service, a whole new realm of the moving of the Holy Spirit is about to break forth. Much of God's plan that I want to share with you can be found in 1 Samuel. He's going to raise up a Samuel company. Hallelujah. The Holy Remnant. Verse 11, chapter 3. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." It's going to be a shocking thing that God does. This new thing is going to amaze and startle. It's the judgment of God on an old religious system and the raising up of a whole new program of the Holy Ghost. That's what you see in 1 Samuel. It's all about the death of an old church religious system and the birthing of a new holy remnant. I want you to keep in mind that what God did in Samuel's day, he keeps doing in every generation. In every generation, when the so-called church, the organized church, backslides and gets cold and compromising, God just gives up on it and raises up another. He's always had a people after his heart. He's always had a praying people in every generation. And that's called the remnant. All through the ages, there's been a remnant. But all this remnant that's coming is going to be beyond anything the world has seen. In 2nd chapter, beginning at 27th verse, write down the rest of the chapter. This prophet looked at Eli, and he said, "Behold, the day is coming. I'm going to cut off your arm. I'll cut off your arm. So I'm going to quit this house at Shiloh. I'm going to remove my presence. I'll make you powerless. I'll judge your wicked pastors. I'm going to pronounce Ichabod on you. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation." What God is saying, I'm giving up on Shiloh. I'm giving it up, and I'm going to give it over to the hands of the enemy. Folks, that's exactly what's happening in America and the world today. The organized religious system has been turned over to the enemy. The enemy. There are going to be men standing in the pulpit that are going to give the people what they want. If you've got idolatry in your heart, you're going to wind up in a church with a preacher with idolatry in his heart. And that preacher is going to minister to that idol that's in your heart. He's going to tell you it's okay to sin. It's all right to be a sports fanatic and not pray or seek the face of God. You can go to many churches, even Pentecostal churches, and it's death. God's not there. God's gone. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? In other words, we're safe. We're no danger. We're not going to lose our salvation. Prophet says, go back now to my place which was in Shiloh. And I set my name at the first and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. While the church of Eli was under judgment, and being forsaken by the glory of the Lord, God was busy raising up a remnant. And Samuel represents the holy remnant. And I want to show you how God trained Samuel to come up to take the place of this dead religious system, how God had a plan. And this is what God's going to do. This is what he's doing right now. He's training many of you. I believe when I'm finished, you'll be able to know whether or not you're a part of this remnant that he's raising up to do his work in the last day. The remnant is always birthed in prayer and intercession, always. Hannah birthed Samuel to bitter tears and much prayer. Listen, please. If you're going to seek God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and you're going to feel the pain and the grief of God for his church, you're going to suffer consequences. You're going to be misunderstood on all sides. You're going to have people accuse you of all kinds of things. Hannah prayed, if you give me a man child, I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And the name Samuel means God heard my prayer. That's what Samuel means. Folks, God's hearing the prayer of a people in his house, of people who yearn for an outpouring of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, of people who yearn for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon their sons and their daughters, of people who want to see the glory of the Lord come down on his church, of people who want to see God move in a very special way in these last days. God's going to hear their cry. Now, these are people who are really on their face seeking him. These are people who are pouring their heart out to God. And there were people that were given, according to Hannah, given to the Lord all the days of their life. These people are so committed, there's no thought of backsliding. There's no up and down, in and out, hot and cold. They are wholly given to the heart of God. Do you know that Samuel was such a man of prayer? And all the people said to Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. Folks, there's going to be a praying remnant that people will go, not for counseling, but for prayer. God wants to raise up prayer warriors who've touched heaven. And the training of the remnant is going to be trained to know the voice of the Lord. God called, he spake to Samuel. He wasn't speaking to Eli. God's trying to raise up an army of people who know his voice, who hear from him directly. And what was the first thing God told Samuel? God implanted in Samuel, and he's doing it in the remnant. He planted a vision of God that says God will not put up with sin in his house. I want to show you my hatred for sin in my house. I want to show you my hatred for compromise in the ministry. I want to show you what it's going to take, Samuel, to hear my voice and walk with me. The time is coming. The time is coming when people are going to want to hear this word from heaven. And folks, if you want to hear from God, God will speak to you. That means you don't go into his presence carrying your load of sin with you. You allow God to deal with that sin. You allow God to take that temper away from you and sanctify it. You ask God to do what he has to do in your life. The Bible said men's hearts will fail them for fear, watching those things coming on the earth. Folks, it's going to be beyond anything we could imagine. But there's going to be a holy remnant that are steadfast and sure, unmovable. You're coming here now that God would put divine principles in your soul and fire you up and get you off the fence and get you seeking his face and deal with sin in your heart. Oh, folks, get into this book. Get into this book. Get along with God. Let him begin to speak to you. Are nothing the things that are despised, and I shall raise them up and anoint them. I'll send them forth to do exploits in my name. Volunteer your soul, body, and spirit, and mind, and cry out to the Lord, here I am, send me. I will lay hold upon you, and I will anoint you, and I will open doors for you, and I will stir your heart, and you will know me, and you will know my voice, and I will use you to glorify my name. You will never have a name, but my name will be glorified through your lips and your heart. You'll never be recognized, but I'll recognize you. And on that day, I will reward you because you were faithful to the call.
Wow, huh? Wow, and I use a football experience there as I always do. I can remember many a game. Big games, championship games. Standing on that field victorious after the game was over and having those players come up put their arms around me and hug me and say, Coach, gah, thanks for driving me. Thanks for staying on me. Coach, I've never felt like this in my life. Fellas, that's what's awaiting us. We're in a time of preparation. We're in a time of separation. We are. And don't get discouraged because others aren't hearing, because some are. Just like that kid yesterday, he was hearing. He heard. Rest of them didn't. Rest of them had all that noise and all that emotion. The one sitting on the floor, he heard. So be faithful. Speak it. Stand for the truth. Honor the Lord. Lift up Jesus. He's called you to do that, to be on his team, to be part of this end times remnant that he's raising up. God bless you. What a time to be alive. We'll see you tomorrow.